thank you for joining us for Talks with Tyler ISD, a podcast where we share the successful stories of students, staff, alumni, and our programs. I'm your host, Jennifer Hines. And today we have with us James Mobley. He is a John Tyler graduate. And one of the reasons you're here is because you recently wrote a book, We Didn't Have Much.
Yes, I did.
And I am so excited to have you on here today because I think this book is just an incredible story to share with everybody. It's actually based on your story. And mm-hmm. you are a Tyler native.
Yes.
A TISD graduate. Tell us a little bit about your childhood, kind of growing up through Tyler ISD.
Sure. No, I'm definitely a proud Tylerite. I am living in Dallas area now. And I get back home as much as I can, but definitely came up through the Tyler schools. T.J. Austin Elementary School was about four blocks from my house in North Tyler. I went to Boulter at that time, junior high school. It's now Boulter Middle School. And then I went to John Tyler High, which is now Tyler High School, and just had a fantastic time. Lots of, you know, great teachers, great experiences, and still think about it even today. Yes.
Wonderful. Yes. Well, tell us a little bit about what life was like for you back then. Lots of siblings. I understand that you single mom.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Kind of describe what it was like.
I will. Yeah. It was, you know, for us, it was kind of normal, but we realized we didn't have as much as other families. You know, we were seven of us. I was the youngest of seven. I have four brothers, two sisters, and a single mom. We moved around a bit, growing up because we would often rent house homes and lease homes. And so we would move around. We started off, my earliest memory is on Dargan Street. We went from Dargan to Walnut Drive, from Walnut Drive to Morris, from Morris to North Ross. And, you know, and it was certainly a typical childhood. We didn't know that we didn't have much because mom always made us feel that what we had was what we were supposed to have. And she made us feel like we always had opportunities. So it was for us, lean on resources, but big on love, big on the enjoyment of just being a kid growing up in Tyler. With seven of us, a couple of times we lived in two bedroom homes, and there's 12 years that separates me and my older sister. And so during my earlier years in grade school, we were all in the house together, but it was fun. You know, we didn't have a lot of rooms, but we enjoyed being close to each other. And that's one of the things that I talk about in the book itself is to take whatever it looks like a negative, and there's always a positive side to look at that as well.
And you mentioned your mom. Mom kind of had two things mm-hmm. that were very important to her, education and church.
That's exactly right. She always, when people ask me what's the best advice that I've ever been given, I always say my mom told me to treat people right, work hard, and go to church. Those were always her kind of core guiding principles for all of us growing up. Yes.
And today, I mean, you have gone into the technology mm-hmm. sector, quite successful. Tell us a little bit about your journey in that.
Sure. Yeah. So I went from John Tyler High to SMU and graduated John Tyler High. I did well in school, had great teachers. Well, I'm sure we can talk about that. And then I went to SMU on an athletic and an academic scholarship. And so I majored in business there, went to the Cox School of Business. And then when I left Cox, I actually thought I was going to be a pro football player. So I took my shot with the Kansas City Chiefs. And when that didn't work out, I decided maybe it's time now I can do something where I can really make a living. And so I came back, started with IBM. And so I worked for a lot of big tech companies, IBM, Compaq Computers, Digital Equipment. And then in 2000, when I saw all of the excitement in technology startups, I actually left big companies to go and be a CEO of a tech startup working with venture capitalists. And I've done three of those. Two of those were acquired by big Silicon Valley companies. And I am now working as an executive for one of those big technology companies in Silicon Valley today.
Well, that is wonderful. And all of these stories, your life basically is what was the inspiration for this. You've put it all into the book that you have written here recently. The story of We Didn't Have Much, it's about a boy, obviously, mm-hmm. who's gone through all these mm-hmm. things and has become successful. What made you sit down and write this book? Like, what was that inspiration?
Yeah, it's interesting. My wife and I were kind of kidding. My wife is a big fan of one of the Today Show hosts, and she had just written a book. And we were looking at the book, and I said, you know, I could do that. And she said, well, why don't you go do it?
Prove it to me.
So I actually literally went into my office, and I actually wrote the book based on that. But the truth is, you know, we've all got stories in us, and that's a story that's been in me and in my head for quite a while. It is, you know, being able to just kind of reflect back on what life was like and to know just how different it could have been were it not for encouragement from a lot of people. And so knowing that and knowing that there may be other kids who are also looking for that type of encouragement and inspiration, that was one reason to do it, just so they know that they can do it and you don't have to have a lot to end up in a place where you can help others. And so that was kind of one piece. The other piece was also for parents, like my mom, a single mom, you know, just to let her also know and parents know that even if you don't have much, being able to instill the right values and morals and discipline, that's something that you pour into kids and is worth much more than money and resources could ever be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, why did you choose a children's book over, I guess, a regular focused more towards adults? Was there something that kind of led you to go in that direction?
It did. I just feel like that you need to try to get that influence early. And your kids, when they're early, the reason why I have been fortunate enough to do well is because I had so many people telling me that you could do well, encouraging me and not knocking me every time I turned around. It was always positive. And so I just felt like that the earlier you can kind of instill those types of possibilities and dreams in children. For me, that was key, is just getting it to those who can embrace it. And they look and they know when on the cover of the book, you have a young boy whose pockets are out with no money.
Right.
And kids just see that and they can relate to the fact that not everybody, you know, has the designer clothes but that's okay. He still was kind. He still was nice. He still would go with his family to church. And so it's just I think that's the right age to be able to influence. Yeah.
Well, and I love the fact that the story is about sharing with children. It's not about the material things that make you successful. It's in what you need. The key to success lies within yourself.
Absolutely.
So everybody has that chance and opportunity to be successful. I noticed that the character doesn't have a name.
That's right.
That intentional?
Very much. Very much. The story is a story that I can relate to, but just about every kid that I can remember growing up could relate to in some way. And so I really wanted whoever was reading that to kind of see themselves in the character and not have that character be identified for them, but they could actually let that be whoever they wanted it to be. Could be themselves, could be a friend that they were aware of, could be, you know, anyone. But that was the idea, is to don't put a name on that character. It definitely is a story that I can relate to, and it is a story that I am very familiar with, but I also can look around and I can probably point at a number of other, you know, young boys and girls who have a very similar story as well.
Well, and you were just telling us about the cover with the kid with his pockets out. I understand your daughter helped you with the illustrations for the book.
She did. And I'm so proud of, I've got three children. I'm very proud of them. They're not children. I guess they're still my children, they're adults.
But they're adults now, yes.
They're adults now. But my youngest daughter, Taylor, who's in the media industry, was home with us during the pandemic. She lives in San Antonio, but they were working from home. So she came to live with us in the Dallas area. And during that time, there was just kind of this desire that I had to try to get some things done, but I didn't have that push. Mm-hmm. And she was the one who basically pushed me and said, Dad, you've been talking about this for a long time. So why don't you go get it done? So she helped me to get it published. And she also worked with the illustrator, guy named Sean from Soul Lifted Designs. And she actually had from me, this is what I would like the illustration to be on each page. Mm-hmm. So get creative. And so it was her creativity that brought the illustrations to life. And she went with kind of a minimalist approach to it, mm-hmm. with very little color, with lines, which kind of went with the theme of we didn't have much. And I thought she did a fantastic job. She and Sean both did a fantastic job of bringing it to life. And I think that's a reason it's been successful. So, yeah.
Well, and what I love that you just said about that, to tie it back to earlier, is that mm-hmm. you wanted people to be able to see themselves. And by using a minimalist approach, they can paint the rest of that picture
Absolutely.
In their mind as they're reading the story. So
Absolutely.
It really kind of hits home in more ways than one. How has this, seeing the reviews and the impact that this has had on others, mm-hmm. how has that been for you?
It's been cool. I didn't know what to expect. I've always had this thing about not putting your success on display, and so yeah, this has been interesting for me. I've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed the reviews and the enjoyment that I see other people getting from it. So So that's made it a lot easier for me. Normally I am going to be the one in the room that's kind of sitting, and you'll never know what I'm doing or why I've done it. But in this case, I'm very happy that we did it. And for me, it's a little bit of just a thank you to all the folks that have kind of helped me along the way. So that's mm-hmm. the way I view it. Mm-hmm. And it's also a big thank you to my daughter, who I know was looking forward to getting this project done. And so, yeah, so it's been more like a thank you tour than anything else for all the folks who helped me to be successful. Yeah.
Well, I love that. And one of the other things that this book also kind of mm-hmm. inspires people to do is to pay it forward. Even Absolutely. If you don't have much, Absolutely. Find a way to yeah. help somebody or to give back in some way.
Absolutely.
Where did that little piece come from? Is that something mm-hmm. that you was instilled in you as a child and is now become a big part of your life?
Yeah, it was. We were always taught to help others. Always taught to just kind of, if you see someone who needed something done, we'd go and help in the neighborhood. If there was an elderly person who lived, we would go and do the yard. We didn't ask for money. And mm-hmm. oftentimes we get an orange or something for doing that. And that was enough. But I think that's from early on. You do that. And then, you know, the children, the schools that my kids went to also, that was instilled in them. That was instilled in us through TISD to also try to make sure that we could give back. And even today we do that. My daughter's fashion show each year benefits a charity in San Antonio. We've over the years have given back to help entrepreneurs. We've given time there to doing things in the community, in the church. And so we've always, as a family, strive to give back because we know that that's really what we're here for. We're here to try to help other lives be better than ours.
I love yeah. that. And so as the children and even adults read this book, mm-hmm. the kind of the three things that they'll take away is enjoy the little things in life.
Yes.
Work hard for what you're going for. Right. And then also to take the time
take
to
the
give
time.
Back.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Absolutely. Perfect. Yes.
And I love that Tyler ISD is a part of your story. Mm. What are some of your best memories of wow. going through Tyler ISD, whether it's when you were in elementary, middle, or even high school?
Wow. I had such great memories at TISD. All the way back to first grade, I had the greatest teachers. I had Mrs. Brown in the first grade. I had Miss Diggins in the second, Miss Lee in the third, Miss Phillips in the fourth, Tribig in the fifth. I mean, all through, I had teachers who were just special. They just literally would look at you and they would let you know that you had the potential of doing great things. And so some of my best memories in elementary school was going out to dusty erasers. I'm dating myself. But, you know, if you were really well behaved, you get to go outside and dust erasers.
Oh, yes.
So yes. I love doing that. I love going out to the playground at TJ Austin right there in that corner and mm-hmm. kicking balls. And so that was cool. But the classes were fun. I enjoyed it. I love spelling bees when everyone in the class would be in the competition and you spell until the last one was standing. And so I enjoyed that. At Boulder, had some great teachers and coaches over there. I had Mr. Guatney was a fantastic science teacher. Mr. Moyer was a fantastic math teacher. Coach Armstrong, the head football coach, and I played mm-hmm. football there, obviously, but just a great school. And then from there to John Tyler, I had just an unbelievable teachers at John Tyler. Gladys Bradshaw is always the one that comes to mind. She's
the one that said, "You're not going to like me now, yes. but you're going to like me later, and you'll understand later why."
Absolutely. Right and now. Then I saw her, and then she said, "Was I right?" And I said, "You were absolutely right." She was just a phenomenal English teacher, and she poured into me and would just push me to the limits. And even when I thought it was good, she would push me to go do more. And it literally what kind of changed my whole approach to life in terms of what she taught me.
When teachers show mm-hmm. you that you need to strive for excellence and mm-hmm. and not just the status mm-hmm. quo, and she really instilled that into you and pushing you forward, you kind of could see, you know, with a little bit of pushing, you could do even more than you ever thought possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that I think that was key, is that she could see that in me, maybe even more than I could see it in me.
Mm-hmm.
And but definitely, I think after surviving her and being able to kind of move on. I looked back and said, wow, if I did not had I not had a Miss Bradshaw,
right,
you know, I think it would have probably impacted me to the downside had I not been able to experience that. So, yeah.
You mentioned football was a big mm-hmm. part of your life, and I know that the coaches probably helped you in that area and mm-hmm. kind of helped you form who you are today. Talk to me a little bit about how they helped you to become successful.
Yeah, I had some great coaches there, and they all had different roles. My head coach at the time was Bob Finkley, and so Coach Finkley was just always about, you know, kind of doing things right. And there was also Lawrence LaQuire, who I mentioned, you know, in another book that I had written. And Coach LaQuire was the one who would just kind of instill in me, hey, look, you're good. So be classy. And he would always stress on me that, look, you don't have to hot dog it. You don't have to point fingers. Just take care of your business and you'll do well. And so he just kind of helped me to remain humble when all of a sudden the head was probably starting to get a little big.
Right.
And he kept me in check. And
it can mm-hmm. at that age, you know, it's when you start getting that attention when you're really good. Cause right. I understand you were really good at football. Okay. You know, you're getting all this attention. It's mm-hmm. easy to let that get out of control, but having him to kind of guide you and keep you grounded
right.
And centered was probably one of the best things that could happen as you moved on into college mm-hmm. and I understand that there was a counselor that really helped you to kind of see what was beyond high school and what was beyond college.
It was. Yeah. Flora Knowles was just a great, great counselor. She would pull me aside and we would always look at the schedule. She made sure I was in AP classes. And we would just often sit and talk about what I wanted to do when I left, John Tyler. And I actually wanted to be a doctor. I went to SMU as a pre-med student.
Okay.
And then it was not until I realized that my football scholarship was paying the majority of the way.
Right.
And Coach Meyer said, you need to be here on Tuesday and Wednesdays. You can't be in a science lab. So
yeah.
That's when I then switched into the Cox School of Business and got a business degree. But I started out wanting to be pre-med. I talked about that with Ms. Knowles. We had mm-hmm. talked about it. She said, you need to take math, science. And she laid it all out for me and was always encouraging, saying, you can do that. You absolutely can be a doctor if that's what you want to be. And if not that, whatever else you want to be. And so I've always reflected on those quiet times in her office talking about what I wanted to be, and with her being so attentive and patient with me to kind of walk through that. Yeah.
Well, and with you being humble, I'm going to be the one to let everybody know that you actually graduated third in your class, the highest ranked male from John Tyler High School mm-hmm. that year. And then you went on full ride, I understand, to SMU. Mm-hmm. And then on after that, getting your degree from the Cox School of Business, which is a very well-known business school, went on to play for which East Texas now knows as Pat Mahomes' team at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes, right.
Tell us a little bit about that, because even just playing in the NFL, no matter for how long, that in and of itself is a success.
Yeah, it was a great ride, and I had a lot of really good people around me. I played with a guy named Eric Dickerson, so I had some real good support. in college, and a guy named Craig James. So we had some pretty good teams, but I think what I learned the most there is really about just kind of understanding a lot of leadership principles on what it's like to be a team, to rely on each other, to be bought into a vision that a coach sets. How do you set a vision? Also checking ego at the door. We had a lot of great players. You had to check ego and really get to where the team goals were paramount. And when I left there, you know, obviously with a pretty successful career, I went to Kansas City for a short while and got released. And so I learned a lot about, again, that life is not always going to be just a straight stairway up. Sometimes you take a zig, you take a zag, and my zag and zig was at Kansas City. I got released there fairly early in the process, and chose not to go play in the USFL, which at that time was another league that was in place, and went to work for IBM. But I reflect a lot on what I learned, and what I learned is, you know, as good as you might be, there's always somebody better, and there's always another plan for you. And I realized shortly after that my plan, even though that would have been nice, my bigger plan was actually to do something other than football. And I'm very pleased with the path.
It's funny how God will kind of lead you one way and you think you're going this direction. Indeed. And he's like, nope, you're going to take a left turn here. Yep. And this is actually where you're supposed to be, but you learned some really good stuff Indeed. Over here that will make you successful in the other area.
Indeed.
I love that.
Indeed.
Kind of circling back around to the giving back to mm-hmm. the community, such a big sure. part of your life. The fact that all the proceeds from this book, mm-hmm. you give back.
Yes.
That's great. You don't make a dime off of any
zero.
$0.
Zero. Absolutely.
That's wonderful. Yes. And I understand it does also tie back to your daughter who helped with the illustrations.
It does. This year, and then in the subsequent years, if it's still bringing in a few dollars, it'll go to the subsequent ones. But this year it will go to the San Antonio Meals on Wheels. That's an organization that I'm very happy that she's supporting this year, because we also support the Meals on Wheels here in Tyler as well. And my mom is also, when she got older, she's also mm-hmm. a Meals on Wheels,
she's now a client of theirs.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it means a lot. And just, they do wonderful work. And not only is it about the meal, but it's also keeping check on seniors that are a little bit older who may not have all the kids around. And so it's just a fantastic organization. So I'm happy we're able to support them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I actually served on the board for 8 years of the local Meals on Wheels. That is a charity that is very close to my heart personally. And right. I love how they provide that safety check, that yes. once a day safety check, because that's so important when you maybe have somebody that's homebound, family might live out of the area. Just having that person, even that quick conversation, means the world to them.
It's a great, great organization.
Not only are you giving back here as yes. well, but I understand you're also helping. You've maybe got a business partner where you help in North Tyler with some homes.
We do. Yeah, we do. I have a great business partner. Ed Thompson is his name, and he's just fantastic. He and I met about 15 years ago. And just kind of hit it off. And then we began to think about things that we could do in North Tyler. We both, grew up in some parts of our lives in North Tyler. All of my life was in North Tyler. Ed was in Chapel Hill and then came to North Tyler. And we started looking around and just seeing what could we do to kind of ensure that we were doing a couple of things. Number one, just trying to pour back into the community from the standpoint of building homes so that individuals over there could have nice homes to, like we did. We, our home was nice. It may not have been much, but we felt comfortable and safe, and we wanted to kind of do that again. So we were able to, and we're still doing that today, building homes out different parts of North Tyler off of North Broadway. We've also gone back into the kind of what we call more the Bow Street Gentry Palace, and we've taken mm-hmm. a lot of older buildings and kind of renovated a lot of those to make sure that those are now available for entrepreneurs to have a place where they can actually start a business, run a business, and be able to take care of their families right in North Tyler. And so a lot of it is about trying to make sure that you have a great place to live, great places to work, and you can take great pride in the community. And so as much as we can do to clean up even one block or one lot, then we're going to try to do that to give back to that community, because it gave so much to us. Yeah. Oh,
I love that. And speaking of it giving so much to you and mm-hmm. and your life being raised in North Tyler is the premise for this book. What's the one thing that you want people to take away from this book when they read it?
The one thing is that, number one, pay it forward. Just give back. To me, that's what life is all about. It's not about accumulating. It's really about giving back. And I think for kids, their primary theme is you may not start with a lot, but just work hard, be kind, and just continue to dream, and you can have what you desire in life. And for parents, even if you think you don't have enough to give your kids, love and encouragement is all that a child needs to dream big and to do big things.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. So a book for children mm-hmm. that's also meant for adults.
Yes.
$7.99. You can get it on Amazon. All the proceeds go back to charity.
Yes.
Author James Mobley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We're so proud of you and your success in this book and all that you have done. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you all for joining us for Talks with Tyler ISD. Be sure to share this episode with your friends and family. Check us out on Apple Podcast and Spotify. We'll see you next time.